Blog Talk Radio.
Someone's facing incredible obstacles in your life.
I want you to lean on God and trust His flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen Him do it. I know it can. I've seen Him do it. He can turn the mess you're in. He can turn it into an awesome miracle. I've seen Him do it. Whatever problem you've got, just let it go. Just give it to God. He'll work it out. How do I know what God can do? I've seen Him do it. I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you. When your back is against the wall, just know that God will have room for you. Listen, we don't like to have God's strength to preserve and cover you. We declare how God works, how God works. He'll erase your past. He'll erase your past.
That's how He works. All we got to do is remember to be thankful. Just be thankful for what He's already done, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because He'll do it for you.
I'd make you fall in love. Times of victory and when I fall, I'm so grateful that I'm standing tall. I thank you for my tears, the pain helped me overcome my fear. You've been good to me throughout the years. It's a miracle that I'm still standing. All that I am, God, all that you brought me through, and everything I desire, saw me because of you. Oh, my. I thank you for my tears. The pain helped me overcome my fears. Get your hands. Oh, my. Thank you. cold. It could bury us with great and small. Times of victory and when I fall, I'm so grateful that I'm oh, I thank you for my tears. Okay, you've been overcome my fears. You've been good to me time to go here. It's a miracle that I'm suspending here. All that I am is because of all that you brought me through. Everything I desire, it's all because of you. I'm grateful for you.
Thank him for all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly. I just thank him for everything. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. I want to read Colossians 3, our scripture today. We may even talk from Colossians today. But from the book of Colossians, the third chapter and 17th verse, reads like this. And whosoever, I'm sorry, and whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. And I know this for a fact, Father God, that you are a prayer-hearing God. So I want to thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we can make a declaration. We can declare a thing, and it shall be done, because your word says it. So I believe it and stand on it. I declare that God is preserving us for such a time as this. I declare and decree that the battle is already won. According to 1 Corinthians 15:58 I declare that God has anointed us to do his will. And I thank you, Father God. Hebrews 13:21 says, this is something you're doing. You have equipped us through your grace and through your mercy. And this is why we need to come boldly before the throne of grace. I thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing on this broadcast. And I thank you for all those that the word of God first in their life. And I praise you for it, that they fall in love with the word. Because when they fall in love with the word, that's falling in love with you. Because you are the word. So I thank you, Father God, for that. I thank you for the healing you're doing, for the deliverance you're doing, for the eye-opening revelation you're giving. I'm just thankful. I'm grateful that you are sharing your love among all your people. Why? Because we're your workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus. And we've been created for this good work. So I thank you for the good work. Praise you for it. Now, Father God, I ask you to open the hearts and minds of those that will receive your word today. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. And everybody agree. Said amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
Okay. Thank you so much. Today is a thankful Thursday. Thankful. I always tell people to be thankful for the word. A lot of people don't know you are the word. You are a living epistle.
Amen.
You give God praise for that. Thank him that you're the word. That ties you right in with God because he is the word. That's where he expects for us to be at, is in his word. Live in there, day and night.
Yeah.
St. John 15:7 says, to abide in there. Got to abide in that word.
Amen.
So, it's thankful Thursday. So anyone have something that they want to be thankful for? But the scripture does say in everything, give thanks. And, in one. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Pastor, I thank you for that prayer. Amen. I'm in agreement as well. So I'm thankful for God's word. Romans 8:37-39. I'm thankful for this scripture, and I'll read it from the King James. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm thankful for this scripture because it lets us know that there's nothing. I know I'm not going to let nothing separate me from his love and from his word, because the more that I hear the word, then I can meditate on the word and I can grow. And so I'm so thankful for the word at noon that we can all come together and study God's word together and learn more how we can grow and how God loves us and how he keeps us. And so that verse in Romans 8:31 where it says, what shall we say then these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we stay with God, and he will order our steps. He will guide us. So once again, I'm thankful for God's word, thankful for the lessons that we that the Holy Ghost used Pastor to bring the lesson to us, and that we can read word and hopefully it gets in our hearts as well, that we can continue to grow and learn more of what God teaches God and how he directs us. Amen. So
amen. Thank you, Pastor. What else? Anyone else? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm thankful for God's word because he has made us part of his word. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can see that.
Amen.
Everybody can't see that. So I'm thankful that God has showed us that we're part of his resurrection power. I'm thankful that we can have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. That for us to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. God expects for us to be united with his spirit.
Amen.
And there's several places I could jump off it, but I want to, because I did say that earlier in the week. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:3. Read that from the King James, if you will. I know it's Thankful Thursday, so y'all need to, anybody want to say anything, just come on with it. Thankful Thursday.
Yes, Pastor.
Speak. No, go ahead. 2 Corinthians 3:3 from the King James Version.
2 Corinthians 3:3, King James Version, read as, "For as much as ye have manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, writ not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. Amen.
Amen.
This is all about that new beginning. So you, Paul used a powerful image here, brothers and sisters, from a form of Old Testament, a passage pertaining to the promise that God one day would change our hearts and make them new, pretty much. And then we will be declared as God's people. You know, remember over there in Jeremiah, we'll go there. Jeremiah 31:33. In Jeremiah 30,
Jeremiah 31:33, King James Version, read as, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, "This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel. When the time comes, I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and they'll be," I'm sorry, let me back up a little bit here. "And I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God, and they will be my people." Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now, you got to let that soak in for a moment. Let the Spirit talk to you. You see why we don't need the law? God had already prophesied.
Amen.
You know, see, if you got Christ, you're not going to need the law. So you see why he abolished the law? He got rid of it? Because of this prophecy that he was prophesying, that the day would come that we would no longer need that law. But he would write the law in our hearts. So when we're reading 2 Corinthians 3, it makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know about you guys. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of a living God, not in table of stone, but in fleshly table of the heart. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
The ministers that comes from Christ is greater than Moses' ministers. You understand? Of course you do.
Yeah.
That's why we're... It's better to be in Christ, brothers and sisters. It's better to live in Christ. It's better to be up under Christ's tutelage than to be worrying about the law, doing it the way the law says to do it. Far better. Also, another scripture, Ezekiel 11:19. Well, I guess you could do Ezekiel 11:19. And then you could do 36 and 26. So let's do Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel 11:19.
And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, I will gather you back from those countries and lands where you've been scattered and give you back the land of Israel. You'll come back and clean house. Throw out all the rotten images and obscene idols. Excuse me. I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll cut out your stone heart and replace it with a red-blooded, firm muscle heart. Then you'll obey my statutes. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, that's something to be thankful for.
Yes, it is.
A new heart.
Amen.
He talks about giving up. Also, he says, I'll give you a new heart, and I will give you a new spirit.
Yeah.
I put it within you.
Yeah.
And I'll take away that old stony heart. I'm going to take it away.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to take
it
right out of your flesh. Yeah. Read Ezekiel 36:26. You'll see. It's there. So we ought to be thankful for this, that we're living at such a time as God has made this become a reality. This is why that's why Jesus abolished the law, because he put his spirit in us.
Amen.
That's what's going to cause you to walk in his stature in Ezekiel 36:26-27. Read that for me.
Ezekiel 36:26-27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and I will keep, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And from the Message Bible, I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my command. Amen.
Amen.
It's something to be thankful for, brothers and sisters. People, they don't see that coming, but Paul saw that. That's why God gave him all this revelation knowledge, so he could tell the people, hey, I'm fulfilling my word. I promise you this. I promise you that you don't have to live by these laws, that the day will come where I will remove that stony heart and I'll put my heart in you. I'll put your heart after me.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't need no pencil or paper. You don't need no stony heart.
Yeah.
See, people, they didn't see that coming, because they wasn't in the Word of God, but Paul was. He searched the Scripture day and night to see if those things was true. And he come to find out, we're ministers. We're ministers of Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
We're ministers of Christ. We're living, written epistles. Can't make it no plainer than that. So that's what Paul was saying.
Yeah.
See, no human minister can take credit for this process. Only through Christ to do this God kind of work, it takes God kind of spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we do not become believers by following preachers, or we don't become believers by following kings. We don't become believers by some manual or some theological seminary. No. Our covenant is with God. God gave us this new covenant. And it's all dependent on him and his will. So we're in God's will. He has implanted his spirit in our heart and given us a new power to live for him. See, when you're in the Word of God, that's what you want. That's what you want to live by. That's what satisfy you. That's what sanctify you.
Amen.
So if you put all those scriptures together, that's what you're going to come up with. That's exactly what you're going to come up with. Somebody that's doing ministry. Somebody that knows that they are ministry and that they are living epistles. Doing the work of an ambassador, like we talked about yesterday.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what we are. We are ambassadors. Now, you may not want to call yourself there, but God did this for the perfecting of the saints. For the working of the ministry. Oh, in Ephesians 4, and we could probably read that whole thing, but let's go to Ephesians 4 and 3, because that's what's coming to mind.
One moment, Pastor. Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen.
Amen. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love. Amen.
Amen.
That's it. And diving to keep this unity of the Spirit in the bound of peace. From 4, I'm going to read from 4. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's why he gave us, that's why he gave us that heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he can keep the unity there. That's
yeah.
God's doing. That's why he gave us his mind, to keep the unity there. That's why he said we greater work than these because I go back to the Father. He did all of that for unity. Jumping on my screen. But, yeah, that's why he did that. You got to know that. You got to believe that. You got to know that God had promised that back then. That, hey, one of these days, they're going to have my heart. They're going to be able to walk in my statutes. They won't need no book. They won't need no pencil, no paper. Matter of fact, they're going to become living, the living word.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
devil don't yeah. ever want you to see that. He don't ever want you to see that you're the living word. Do you know that will rock his world? Especially when you declare and decree it. That rocks his world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something over here. Praise God. Yeah. But read Ephesians, read from the third chapter, 4th through the 8th verse.
Ephesians 3, 4 through 8.
Ephesians 4.
Okay. Ephesians 4, 4 through 8. Ephesians 4 through 8 in the King James Bible reads, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye call in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measures of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, you are all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and see and act the same. out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized them. He handed it all out in gifts to people. Amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it there. Anyone else have anything they want to be thankful for? I was going to get into that, but I might just wait till tomorrow because there's so much to unpack there. But we've been called, brothers and sisters, we've been called for one purpose, the same purpose Christ had.
Amen.
You know, this church, that church, this ministry. No, one ministry. And that's the ministry of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God put his spirit in us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anybody else? Hallelujah. Okay.
And Pastor, as I read down further, as I read down further, I'm thinking it might be the 10th verse, but it may be the 11th verse from the Message Bible. It said, he handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmatically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults developed within and without, fully alive by Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That might have been from the 11th to the 13th.
Yeah, well, see, in the 7th verse, if you remember, it says, but every one of us is given grace. That's what we've been talking about, that same grace to minister. And we've been given a measure of the gift of Christ, whereby he said when he ascended up on high, he led him captive and gave gifts unto man. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have this gift of grace to become one with Christ, all of us. That's why he says, but unto every one of us is given grace. We've been given this grace.
Yeah. Thank you.
What this grace is for? To be one with Christ. That's why when he says in the third verse, and darling, to keep the unity of the Spirit in bound of peace. That's what we ought to be about, trying to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that's the Spirit of Christ. And make sure people understand there is one body, one Spirit.
Yeah.
Even as ye are called into one hope of your calling. It's not all these other gods they talk about. You know what I got to thinking about? That's why I'm so thankful. Because the devil, he'll trick you, man. He'll fool you. I used to go to church, and for some reason or another, the devil would attack me and say, look at God. And I'd be looking at the building. I'd be looking at hanging chandeliers. And the devil would say, look at God. I'd be looking at the organ. Say, look at God. People have an offering. And somebody said, look at God. Really now? Really? See, that's how Satan has twisted so many people's minds. They got a brand new kitchen outfit. Look at God. No, that ain't God. Stop lying on him. That ain't God.
All right.
Amen.
And y'all probably heard people use that phrase, look at God. Well, wait a minute. Now, is it really God or is it something you did? Because, see, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And a lot of people can't separate what's spirit and what's flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Oh, preacher, I don't know why you... No, I ain't trying to down nothing. I'm just telling you the way it is. It's almost like blasphemy when you think about it.
That's what we got.
And there's no forgiveness in this world nor the world of God. But you need to be careful when people talk about, oh, look at God. Oh, that's what God looked like? A hanging chandelier? That's what God looked like as a barbecue sandwich? That's God? Look at God. I shouldn't say that works my nerve, but I have to think about that a couple of three times when people try to claim something to God. Like we were talking the other week. Paul and right, wrong, and wrong, right.
Amen.
And they get angry, and they can keep on getting angry. Because I read the word of God. He said, let every man have his own wife. I read that. And every woman her own husband. So if a man is to have, let every man have his own wife. He's talking about that's a woman, man. Not every woman have her own wife. Every man. It's plain. It's simple. Every man have his own wife. Then it says every woman have her own husband. So two men, God ain't never said two men have each other. That ain't God.
All right. Amen.
Look at what God joined together. God ain't joined that mess together. That ain't God. I'm not for them lies. Pour water on my head and tell me it's raining. The devil is a lie.
I hate that.
No, they ain't working with me.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, you know, everybody. No, that's y'all. That ain't everybody. Don't put me in that box. See, a lot of times people can't go beyond where they're at. And because they're not there, they figure everybody else ain't there. Listen, brother,
right.
Because you don't eat strawberry cake, that don't mean other folks don't. And because your level of knowledge only take you to able to see what you're capable of doing, where somebody else's level of knowledge is taking them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
See, I was telling y'all about Evangelist Sharon. If y'all had a thought Evangelist Sharon, yeah, your level of knowledge would have said, well, yeah, that's it right there. She's a goner. But she could testify. Trust me. She could, because her level of knowledge went through the roof. Her God took a nothing and put weight, meat back on bone. Yeah.
Praise God.
But some people, they can't, they'll never see that. You take Evangelist Renee Foote. That thing was to the white meat. Well, the average person level of knowledge would say, well, oh, yeah. She had people to tell her that. People told her, just going to cut the thing off. Going to cut it off. I mean, you can look at the white meat. What is you playing around with? Well, see, that's what some people's mindset.
Amen.
But then she was faithful and heard what God said, that by his stripes, I'm going to heal you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even tell that thing been to the white meat now. She waited on God. And God let flesh come back. He let skin come back. He let the coloration of it come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So stop being a doubting Thomas. and start being a believer. Anybody can doubt, man. That ain't no big deal. Start believing. Start speaking it.
Yeah.
God believed in us. That's why I gave y'all those scriptures. This didn't just happen. God prophesied this a long time ago. Now, I'm going to put my spirit. You won't need the law. But you think preachers going to teach you that? No. No, they're not going to teach you that. Because they can't teach you something that they don't know. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. It's for the believers. Christ is the end of the law now. You know what? We don't need that law because God put his law in our spirit.
Yeah.
Let the devil get mad. Who cares? Anyone else?
Yes.
And maybe on tomorrow we can revisit the fourth chapter. And so actually, when I think about the scripture the word in us make us a living epistle. And maybe we'll read, and that's what perfect the body of Christ. That's what he came here for, to keep that unity.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get into it a little bit tomorrow in 1 Thessalonians. Okay, anybody else? Hallelujah. Well, thankful Thursday.